By the way, has everybody been loving their neighbors as themselves this past week? Yeah, how many people have been doing that? How many people have completely forgotten? That's what we spoke about last Sunday. Well, one of the great stories in the Bible, and I recommend that everybody reads the Bible, one of the great stories in the Bible is concerning Moses. How many people have never heard of Moses? Everybody's heard of Moses, right? And this story describes how Moses and the whole Israelite nation, men, women, children, had gathered at the border of a place called Canaan. And this story that I'm referring to is in the book of Numbers, in the first part or near the first part of the Bible. Moses and the ancient Israelites had another name for Canaan. They called it the Promised Land, the land that flows with milk and honey. Only months before they gathered at the border of the land of Canaan, only months before, the whole nation, men, women, and children, had been living as slaves in Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh. They lived a terrible life. But God had promised them that one day they would be rescued from Egypt and that he had a promised land waiting for them. The promised land was a place where they could flourish and they could prosper under the mighty hand of God, and it was God's place for them. So throughout the many years of slavery, those ancient Israelites kept dreaming about their promised land. And so, after their epic rescue from the land of Egypt, and after navigating their way through the wilderness, they finally arrived on the border of the land of Canaan, the border of their promised land. Now, all they had to do was march in and take the land. So there they were, full of anticipation, and there was great excitement amongst the people about what was going to happen. So before they went into the land of Canaan, they chose 12 men to go into the land first of all and check it out, spy out the land, gather some intel so they could figure out the best way to take over the land. These men, 12 men, were very thorough. They took 40 days to survey the promised land and to investigate the enemies that lived there. And so the people were eager to hear their report when they returned. And the people oohed and they aahed as these 12 men described the wonder and the beauty of the promised land. It truly was a land that flowed with milk and honey and it had everything they needed to prosper. How exciting it was. But then 10 of the men changed the conversation very quickly and they began to talk about the enemies and the opposition they would face in the promised land. And this is what they said. It's on the screens. It said this. This is what these 10 men said to the people. The people already living there are powerful, and the towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. What a great report. That was 10 of the men said that. But 2 of the men, Joshua and Caleb, realized that the people were becoming discouraged by this report. And so they said quickly, come on, let's go and take the land, for we can certainly conquer it. But the other 10 men said in response to that, we can't do that. We can't go up against them because they are stronger than we are. And their negative report was like a wet blanket thrown over the faith of all of the people. And unbelievably, the people started to weep, and they started to weep aloud in despair, and their dream of taking the promised land evaporated because they believed the bad report from these men. It was unbelievable. In the morning, full of anticipation, by the afternoon, the dream had gone. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to be careful who you listen to. As we step into 2021, be careful who you listen to. And some of the people have become so depressed by what these 10 men had said that they even spoke about going back to slavery in the land of Egypt. It was crazy time. Moses, he was just shocked. He couldn't believe what was going on. And he was appalled by the people's response. He could not believe that the people of God would let go of the promise of God so quickly because of some enemies and hearing stories about the opposition. Because, you know, these people had seen the mighty miracles God had done in Egypt. These people had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Remember that story? They had seen the greatest army on the face of the earth at that time in history was the Egyptian army. These very people had seen God destroy the mighty Egyptian army, and God was well able to give them the promised land. But, you know, they were afraid. So those people chose not to enter the promised land. Instead, they ended up wandering around in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land for 40 long years. They lived their lives in the dry and barren wilderness instead of living in the land that flowed with milk and honey. And that happened, everybody, because they had balked at the opposition that needed conquering within the promised land. They gave way to fear instead of trusting in the faithfulness of God. Where was their faith? How foolish they were. Nonetheless, at the end of those 40 long years, a new generation of Israelites were ready to do what the previous generation did not do. This new generation had had enough of living in the dry, barren wilderness. And so they were ready to take the promised land and fight for the good things that God said belonged to them. Moses had already died, and now Joshua was ready to lead the people. And God said to Joshua this, "Wherever you set your foot, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged in 2021. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And this new generation, they marched into the promised land. The first city that they encountered was Jericho. Jericho was a powerfully fortified city with huge walls for protection. It really was invincible. But these mighty walls came tumbling down after that new generation of Israelites marched around that city once a day for 6 days, then 7 times on the final day, for God was with them. And they then proceeded to conquer the enemies that tried to steal away God's promised land for them. Those earlier Israelites with Moses could have enjoyed the same victories if only they had not listened to the bad, negative, wimpy report of those men who'd spied out the land. Now, what is the point of this history lesson that I've just given to you? I thought it was a rather good history lesson myself. I could tell you more, but we'll leave it there. But what's the point? The point of this history lesson is really simple. Their story is our story today. Their story is your story. Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents Satan. Moses represents Jesus Christ. And the Red Sea represents water baptism. Ladies and gentlemen, we once belonged to the world. I'll say it again. We once belonged to the world. We lived in Egypt, if you'd like. We once were lost to God. We were slaves to sin and Satan. But we were rescued from the tyranny of Satan by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now we no longer belong to the world. I'll say it again. We no longer belong to the world. Who wants to belong to the world? Not me. They're crazy. They don't know what they're doing. We no longer belong to the world. We belong to God. Amen. And today we are God's own chosen people. Now, you know, if you want lunch, you're going to have to shout out your amens a bit louder than that. Somebody really wants lunch. Their story is your story. The promised land, what about that? The promised land does not represent heaven in this story. Heaven is heaven. There's no enemies in heaven. The promised land does not represent heaven. The promised land represents the Christian life that God has for each one of us. But this is a catch. The wilderness also represents the Christian life that you live in when you turn your back on your promised land. As followers of Jesus, we can choose to live our Christian life in the promised land, or we can choose to live our Christian life in the wilderness. We can live in the promised land in 2021, or we can live in the wilderness in 2021. God has a promised land, ladies and gentlemen, for you, for each and every one of us, while we live in this fallen world. The promised land is the place where you live in God's good will for your life. Concerning daily living, Jesus said this, and what I'm going to read now, or you've got on your screens, this is not about heaven. Jesus spoke about heaven in other places. This is about life today. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give them, us, a rich and satisfying life." My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Even the psalmist exclaimed to God, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." And God says to those who belong to him, and you know this verse very well, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Absolutely. So the promised land is a rich and satisfying life for you today. It is where you eat of the feast of God's benefits, even when circumstances are against you. It's where you live with a future and a hope while everyone around you is in despair. But there are enemies in your promised land that want to stop you entering into God's best for you and your family. There is opposition facing you every single day, just like Israel had opposition facing them. And this opposition comes from the evil one. It's spiritual opposition. You face it every day that you live. In fact, the Bible says this: "We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one." We live in a fallen world where there is opposition. And the Bible continues with this: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world," the evil one in the unseen world. Therefore, if you're going to enter your promised land, and that is a daily thing we do, every day we make the decision, "Today, I'm stepping into my promised land. Today, I'm stepping into the promises of God." If you're going to do that, then you've got to fight for it. Come on, come on. Everybody listening, you've got to fight for it. You've got to fight for what is right. And you've got to fight for what God declares to be rightfully yours. Now, when you go to heaven, you won't have to fight. You're in a fallen world. We're behind enemy lines. And while we're here, God wants to bless us, but we've got to fight for it in Jesus' name. See, we Christians, and you've got to get this out of, we've got to get stinking thinking out of our heads. We Christians are not called to be a bunch of passive people who say, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be." No way, Jose. We're not called to be passive. We're called to smash down the opposition that stands in the way of what is right and just. See, we're called to fight. We're called to conquer, and we're called to win. That's a good place to shout for lunch. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. You know, we're soldiers of the kingdom. Who remembers the old hymn? It says, what was the old hymn again? "Onward, Christian soldiers." I was going to say, who remembers the old hymn? I can't even remember it. "Onward, Christian soldiers." That's what we are. I think we've forgotten it half the time. We go, "Oh, well, I'm having a hard time. It must be God's will." No, no, it's opposition. Smack it down in Jesus' name. Amen. We're called And you might think I'm being a bit silly when I say this, but no, I'm not. We're called to kick the devil's butt and cast him down. Enough is enough. How much longer are we going to tolerate him mucking around with our families? Enough is enough. The Bible says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Amen. And it says this, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. And the Bible says this is a great encouragement. Greater is he. Sounds like everybody's mumbling in tongues. Amen. It says, greater is he. Praise God. I used to work, might have told you this before, after 22 years, I'm probably repeating everything I've said before, but I remember I one time worked, this is not online, so it doesn't matter, I worked with a couple of witches. I used to be a computer programmer, and it just worked out that I had this contract, and just for a week I had to work with them. And we were in one of those little, it was a little small office, and one of them was a high priest witch. And I'm only little, I'm only 5'7". And he was like 6'3". And I remember going in there. My mother was praying for me. I told my mum and she covered me in prayer. But I remember going in there and these two guys would sit as far away from me as they could because they were fearful. The evil spirits within them recognized who was living inside of me. It was not a hassle for me at all to be there in the same room. It was a real hassle for them. They couldn't wait for me to get out of that place. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. Amen. It's time to fight. So you've got to fight. You've got to fight because there's a lot of good things worth fighting for. So many good things. Fight for justice. Fight for your family. Seriously, fight for your family. I'll say it again. Fight for your family. Fight for your kids. Fight for your grandkids. You know, if you want to know what you call, if you've got kids and if you've got grandkids, if you want to know what you call of God is for you, is pray for your kids. Fight for your kids. Fight for your grandkids. Fight for righteousness. Fight for your good health. Fight for the good news of Jesus Christ. Fight for your neighbors. Fight against hatred. Fight for what is good and noble. And you fight with God's mighty weapons. We don't fight as the world fights. We fight with God's mighty weapons. What am I talking about? You fight with your prayers. You fight with the word of God in your mouth. You know, when you hear those negative reports, we respond with the word of God in our mouth. I am blessed. God is with me. You speak the word of God. You fight with that. You fight with the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I say, be gone. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are blessed. We fight with the name of Jesus. Fight with the renewing of your mind. Stop letting the devil play with your head and renew your mind in the word of God. Fight with love. Fight with courage. And fight with the praise and worship to Almighty God. Hallelujah. You got discord in your home? When everybody's out of the house, crank up the worship music and have a praise and worship time in your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes people ring me up and say, my house is haunted. Seriously. And they're right. They're right. Oftentimes they're right. They say, could you come and exercise my house? By the way, this is not an ad. I don't need the gig, all right? So I don't, you know. But sometimes I've done that. And, you know, Pastor Bessler, I definitely don't need the gig. And people think you're really super special on that. You know what I do? Generally to exercise a spirit out of a house, it's just I praise God. Yeah. I just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord because greater is he. Yeah. Absolutely. So fight with praise to God. Now, the Bible prophet Habakkuk, can we all say his name together? What a great name for your child. The Bible prophet Habakkuk, he understood the power of praise when he said this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even when the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will roll over and play dead. Yet I will roll over, lie in a fetal position and suck on my thumb. What does he say? He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will praise the Lord, in other words. And then he says, and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. You got to love this guy, Habakkuk. What a great guy. I love his defiant attitude to the opposition that he was facing. Everything was against him. And yet he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It's kind of like, you know, when after everything's gone wrong, it's kind of like Habakkuk said, this is my words. It's like he's saying, devil, is that the best you've got? You've attacked my income. Well, I'm still rejoicing in the Lord anyway. He is my source. He is my strength. I love the defiance. We need to get a bit of defiance in us today as well. It's time to stand up and be defiant towards the devil. It's time to fight back with the praises of God and weapons of the Lord. So, nearly finished. Here at Real Life Church, you know, as we're looking ahead, we don't want to be like those Israelites who balked at the opposition in their promised land. We don't want to be like that. They became intimidated by the giants in the land. They gave up the fight. Don't give up the fight. They believed a bad report. So they drifted aimlessly in the barren, dry places. And true, they may have avoided some battles, not all, but they may have avoided some battles. But you know what? They never enjoyed the mighty victories that awaited those who dared to enter the promised land. Now, I'm sure this has happened to you. It certainly happened to me. I've been in those barren, dry places spiritually. I've been there where my faith became stagnant and there was very little fruit in my life. I'm sure others have been too. And I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. I want to keep away from the dry places. But I made the mistake. I went there because I made the mistake of listening too much to negativity and bad reports from faithless people. You know, sometimes people can seem really smart, but they can be absolutely negative. And it stole my hope and it stole my joy. I'll say it again with what I said earlier. You've got to be careful who you listen to in 2021. You want to listen to the good, the powerful, and the positive, faithful word of God in Jesus' name. And this next year, we want to be like the new generation of Israelites who said, enough is enough. They chose to get out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And 2021 is our harvest time. Come on, come on. It's your harvest time. Somebody's harvest time here today. You want it to be your harvest time, it's your harvest time. And we're going to fight for our harvest in Jesus' name. And this year, we're going to conquer some giants. Maybe there's some giants that you've been fighting and you're thinking, wow, what am I going to do? Well, this year is the year for conquering those giants. Come on, come on. You don't seem completely sure about that. Come on, come on. This is not just a motivational message. I'm actually speaking prophetically over you today in Jesus' name. Absolutely. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right now. We're going to enjoy some mighty victory. If you want to have a mighty victory this year, then you will have a mighty victory this year. We're going to enjoy some mighty victories. It's harvest time in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just ran out of words on the last page. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Well, let's stand on our feet. We're going to cut the cake in a minute, but let's just, come on, let's do it just for a moment. Let's just capture this moment. And I just love you all so much. I just appreciate you all so much. I'm amazed that you come back every Sunday for more of the Word of God, and I just thank you for that. Thank you for being here. But the Holy Spirit is here right now. And Father, we just come before you, and we just pray. We just declare and speak prophetically that 2021 is indeed the year of harvest for us. In Jesus' name. I just want to pray right now for people. You know, sometimes you can get fatigued. Sometimes you can have that deep spiritual fatigue. You become a little bit battle weary. And you think, oh my goodness, we're only up to February. How on earth am I going to make it all the way through to December? I'm exhausted already. So we're going to pray right now. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Just lift your hands to the Lord like you're about to receive something. And if you're saying, oh God, I'm just battle weary today, we're just going to pray times of refreshing for you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody praying. And Father, we know that, as mentioned earlier, life is tough. Absolutely. But Lord, we thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And we're tough too in Jesus' name. But sometimes we do get weary. Sometimes, Lord, when it's a succession of difficulties, we do become weary. Even we experience fatigue, spiritual fatigue. Father, but right now we just bring our fatigue to you. And for those, Lord, who are reaching out to you right now, we just pray times of refreshing in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you refresh dry people. Wow, there's a few of you. I've just opened my eyes. Father, I pray for weary people. I pray for, there's some people, Lord, who have been pushing and pushing and pushing and they become tired. Lord, just refresh them. We pray for supernatural strength. Like Habakkuk, he was weary, but then he confessed, the Lord is my strength. And I just speak that over my brothers and sisters. In fact, why don't we all say, the Lord is my strength? Here we go, ready? The Lord is my strength. Again, speak it. Come on. The Lord is my strength. One more time. The Lord is my strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, be strong and be bold, for the Lord your God is with you. While we're still praying, and maybe you've got those giants, you know, giants come and they go, don't they, you know? But right now, maybe there's a giant that's overwhelming in your life, and man alive, it is very intimidating, and you just don't know what to do. This is a year of breakthrough for you. We just want to pray for you too. Get ready to receive in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we just pray for people. Sometimes Goliath, Lord, you know, Goliath is big and he's mean and he's ugly and he's intimidating. But Lord, we thank you for that scripture that we've repeated several times this morning. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we come against those Goliaths, whatever they are, family trouble, poor health, mental health issues, whatever the giant is, we speak to it now and we say, in the name of Jesus, you giant, be cast down. Be cast down. Be cast out in Jesus' name. Be gone. And Father, we just speak freedom and breakthrough in the lives of one another here this birthday. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, and Lord, I pray for a good week. And Lord, pray you bless our fellowship together as we have lunch together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.